Good morning. Did they wake everybody up? Got anybody in the rooms upstairs still asleep? I am Ronnie Franklin. I am the RRA president, and haven't had a chance to greet you yet, but welcome to Texas, best state in the union. Oklahoma's probably over there saying no. I know my buddy Ron Cunningham is a boomer sooner, but, you know, sometimes Texas wins, sometimes boomers win. Last year, Texas didn't. I got a nice little clock down here. It's counting faster than I can count. The RRA's had a good year. We issued granted our 36th and 37th LSA that you got to see last night, yesterday, and Roger and Barbara got the 36th and 37th LSA to be given out, and we gave one out previously about 2 weeks ago to David Shepherd from Oklahoma. Unfortunately, David passed before we could give it to him, so it was given posthumously. And we've given out five of the Lifetime Service Awards posthumously. You know, families appreciate the award and appreciate the fact that we've given them and recognized them. But, men, we need to recognize commanders before they go. It's, you know, this would be a fantastic year to recognize men all throughout the nation that have served Royal Rangers and given a lifetime of service to them. I know we've got one application in our hands from the conference here. I know there's three others that will be presented this year. They already have the awards in the district ready to give out. And, you know, if you've got anybody in your district, and I know that every single district and probably almost every outpost in the nation has somebody that deserves recognition for their service. And make sure that you do that. This is the perfect year to do it. RRA is still growing. We had a great meeting yesterday. And at Camp-A-Rama, Paul Stanek and I will be working together. We'll have a time frame. Don't have the date. Don't have the specifics on it yet, but we will have a time that old-timers and RRA members and as Jim Barger refers to it as OFA, and some of you know what that means, we'll get together and have a good old time. If you don't understand it, go see Jim. He'll give you the definition of it. So you guys have a great trip back home. We'll be praying for you. I live an hour and 15 minutes from here, so don't have far to go, but I know some of you have a long ways. Thank you all so much for your support. Don't forget the ones that need distinction and need to be singled out in your districts that need to be recognized for their service in Royal Rangers. Thanks.
Greetings. You know, I can't help from the start up. Fred, my mentor over there, I got the microphone, so I get to share. Oh, that's good, Fred. Let me reminisce just a little bit. I'm getting more high-tech every year. You know, maybe in a few more years I'll have one of those big iPads. But I remember 50 years ago, I'm going to just go back just a second, 50 years ago, I walked into that outpost room. A young man had invited me to Royal Rangers. I was 11 years old. I was skinny back then. I was shy and I was bashful. I'm a whole lot opposite from that now. But I got to say thank you, man. Thank you to Royal Rangers. Because without Royal Rangers, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So it has led me all through life up to this point in life and continues to lead me. I want you to do the very same thing. Each one of you, you are my heroes. You're my heroes, whether you've been on a Pathfinder trip or not. If you've been on a Pathfinder trip, you're my double hero. I'm just going to give you a couple statistics. 20 teams last year, $130,000 and 171 team members. That's good. But guys, you're not scratching the surface. We changed this program into bronze and silver and gold so that it would grow. Some of you have got the vision. Some of you are going into your district campgrounds and putting on roofs and improving buildings and building cabins and things like that. You found out that you can use this right now in your home district to put men and boys to work. And guys, if you'll conduct a home missions project in your home with devotions in the morning and banquets and debriefing at the end of the trip, just like we do on a foreign trip, you'll reach the boy just like we do on the foreign field. And we can have 50 and 100 teams next year just by doing that this year. Some of you saying, and this is true, as I've watched all every year, I'm speaking to a group of people that are so busy, and you come by my table, and I can see the tears in your eyes, and I want to do it. I want to do it. I'm going to do it someday. But you don't have the time to do it. But you are using the tools you've got, and you're reaching boys. You're a commander in your outpost. You're doing everything you can do. This is what I want you to do. Look outside the box. Just like we're changing the uniform, get outside the box. Find somebody in your district, whether it be a Royal Ranger leader or an FCF member or anything, that is conducting missions in their church. And go to them one-on-one and say, hey, would you help me with Pathfinders? I want to put some boys with you. I want to put some men with you. I want you to be my Pathfinder leader. And he don't have to know anything about Rangers. But eventually, in a few weeks after you tag him on, he's going to know more about Rangers. More than 50% of my team members now have never heard of Rangers. So it's a ministry tool. It's an outreach tool. The next thing I want to talk to you about was what if? What if? I start at 41 years old. I was invited by Ken Hunt. And Dave Wharton, I think, had a big hand in this, to go on my very first missions trip at 41 years old. I went on that trip, and I came back. I didn't know I was changed, but I came back, and I didn't really think about going on another trip. But I wanted more people to go. I wanted them to experience what I had. I wanted them to see another part of the world. Up until that point, I didn't know anything about the world. But it gave me a chance to see the world when I went to South Africa. And I came back to inspire more men. And through the years, God has blessed me with the opportunity to do it, especially now by leading Pathfinders. Since that time, at 41 years of age, I've traveled to 30 countries and over 120 teams. What if we'd introduced Mike King or another Royal Ranger at 18 years old to Pathfinders and given them an additional 20, 25 years to serve? That's what I'm asking you to do now, to introduce your men, introduce your boys to Pathfinders. One of the greatest benefits, and every year you hear me say this, is not necessarily the project we do, even though it is for the people we do it, but the greatest benefit is how you change the lives of team members. And I want to share with you just a quick story about that. In the year 2000, a young man walked outside of his tent in Masai Mara. He walked outside of his tent and he thought about the day. He thought about all the men that he was serving with and the example they were setting and the Christian attitude that they were setting. The second or third day of the trip, he looks up to the skies and he sees the beautiful stars in Africa and not concerned about the animals, and he dedicates his heart to Jesus. He said, God, I want to be a Christian. I want to be like these men. And then he goes back in his tent and he lays down. It was 3 or 4 years later before I heard this young man preaching a sermon that I heard this story. That young man was my son. Guys, don't you want to give your sons and your men, your boys, and your opportunity that same chance? I'm so proud of him. He's still serving the Lord now. He's serving in the Southern Missouri District, and I'm so proud of him. But I want you to be proud of your boys and your men. Give them the chance. Give them the chance to get on a missions trip. There's the chart you're looking at here is just my next 6-month schedule, and there's a lot of to be announced. The need is great, guys. We need you. We need you to get involved. Stop by my table, pick up a card. My cell phone number is on it. Just start calling me. We'll make it happen. Thank you guys for letting me serve in Pathfinders.
Thank you very much. Well, we took all the comments, tags, and likes from the Mega Sports Camp picture yesterday, and we have randomly selected. And is there a Gary Bays in the room today? Gary Bays, just wave your hand at me. Thank you very much. I see you back there. We're going to get you connected with our gospel publishing house, My Healthy Church store in the back. You've got a $100 shopping spree today, so you can get what you need. Just a quick reminder, Mega Sports Camp's a great outreach for your church, but also just for your Ranger Outpost. I hope you'll pick it up at the event price of $80 while you're here. Thanks. God bless.
I want to thank all you guys who helped us on the Indian Reservation. It was at this council meeting 15 years ago when I was sent to the reservation. Again, I want to say thank you for the people who gave us toys, the people who sent offerings. We would not have been able to make it this year. Our reservation has 92% unemployment today, and but with that comes a great deal of depression. With that comes a great deal of suicide, a great deal of alcoholism, drug abuse, and we just needed the help this year. We wanted to have the greatest celebration of Christ's birthday that we ever had, and you guys came through. Almost 3,000 toys were sent to our reservation this Christmas. We were able to distribute to all over the reservation. We were able to distribute to even a couple of reservations beyond us, and it was a great thing. It was just super, and it lifted the spirits of our reservation. Suicides went down to 1 from 3 a week, okay? And so I'm going to tell you, you made an impact, and I want to invite you again to participate this coming year and help us. We're going to try to take a group of about 28 kids to Camperama, but your help is greatly needed. If you want to bring groups out there to do work projects and things of this sort, we welcome you to come. And on your tables is a brochure like this. It gives our name, our address, our email, and all that. Just contact us, and we'll be happy to work with you. And just one short story. Last November, at the end of November, this young lady came into my office, and she said, "Pastor, could I interrupt you for a few minutes?" And I said, "Sure." And she said to me, "I'd like to do something if you don't mind." And I thought, "Well, what in the world does she want to do?" And she's carrying a little baby in a carrier, and she opened up the carrier, and she said, she turned around to the baby and said, "Lily, I want you to meet the man who saved your life." She was on her way to have an abortion. She was on her way to stop the life of her baby. She said, "Lily," she kept talking to Lily, she said, "Lily, something pulled my car into this parking lot. And as a result, Pastor introduced me to somebody called Jesus. And you live today because of Jesus. You live today and you're going to live tomorrow because of Jesus. And I want to tell you, Lily, this man and Jesus and a little pamphlet he gave me that talked about a place called the Hope Center was what made it possible for you to live." I immediately started breaking down. I started crying, and she kept speaking to the baby, and she said, "You know, we're going to become active in this church." Well, 3 months later now, she sings in our choir and our worship team, and she's active in our children's program with all the little kids and teaching a class. You know, it's things like this that make it worthwhile, or make you feel like you're doing something for the community in which you serve. And many times I have felt, and that day I felt like, man, I'm not getting any grounds. I'm not doing any, it's not breaking ground. You know, God, what are we going to have to do to break grounds? But then I stopped and thought about the fact that 15 years ago there was only 7 churches on a reservation. Today there's 49. There was 2% Christian. Today it's 52% Christian. And so I guess I'm telling you because you sent me to the reservation. You sent me there to provide hope and introduce people to Jesus. And it's working. And so thank you.
Someone said a boy is a loud sound covered in dirt. But is that really true? God wants boys to be boys. The church's job is not to hardware them differently, but to instill biblical software into their lives that will channel their natural assertiveness, competitiveness, and yes, loudness in a manner that honors Christ. As the church instills biblical principles of manhood and servant leadership skills into the lives of boys and young men, God-pleasing husbands, fathers, and world changers will emerge. Boys emulate men they admire and respect. The Apostle Paul instructs that godly men in the church play a role in bringing boys into biblical manhood, Titus 2, 6 through 8. The process starts ideally in a loving home and is reinforced with the active involvement of godly men. If we could take their motto from 1 Corinthians 11:1, it would be, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Men working with a purpose. Royal Rangers provides a ministry that is designed to encourage the men in your congregation to model the principles Jesus taught and be involved in service. It rallies them around a biblical cause. It provides them the resources to enjoy ministry success while developing much-needed bonds of friendship with other men. Royal Rangers is fun for both men and boys. To facilitate the mentoring relationship, Royal Rangers exercises the interest men and boys already have, like outdoor and sporting activities, trades, technologies, and art ministry. Royal Rangers uses proven mentoring resources to help boys become godly, confident, wise, and compassionate leaders. Royal Rangers is fun with a purpose. By intentionally developing the mentoring relationship, Royal Rangers equips the next generation of men, husbands, fathers, businessmen, and church leaders, and empowers them to be lifelong servant leaders. The boys and young men just think they're having fun instead of being discipled. Royal Rangers equals evangelism and discipleship. Yes, it's true that boys are often loud and covered in dirt, but boys don't have to be quiet and clean before coming to Christ. He can turn dirty noisemakers into articulate proclaimers of truth. He can prepare them to take the gospel to the next generation. All it takes are willing men to engage in meaningful mentoring relationships with them, influencing more boys and young men than ever, more effectively than ever. Royal Rangers, evangelizing, equipping, and empowering the next generation of Christ-like men and servant leaders.
Thank you to the Rocky Mountain District. They created that video, and because of their kindness, they are giving it to all of us across the nation, and it is on the CD that is on your table, and so you'll be able to use that. That is intended for a general audience. That's right. Thank you, Rocky Mountain. I've got some good news. I've got a lot of good news this morning. The good news is this. Since this time last year, we have seen over 200 new outposts started across the nation. Amen? And that's unprecedented, and so we're excited about it. Another piece of good news is we're receiving more phone calls from pastors and children's pastors and youth pastors and people inquiring about how to start Royal Rangers. And that's also good news. And so we're in the process now in our office of making sure that we follow through on all of those phone calls that we're receiving. And so we're just excited to think that the Lord has really prepared us for the direction that He is leading us in the years ahead. Amen? So that calls us to really two pieces of action this morning. Because as we move forward, we have to strategically do two things very, very well. The first thing that we must do as organizational leaders as we look at the outposts across our nation is help the ones that have Royal Rangers to be the very best outpost they can be. So that's the number one challenge, and we're not going to spend a great deal of time discussing that this morning, but I don't want it to be lost either. The best advertising that we can have are good, solid, healthy Royal Ranger leaders leading good, solid, healthy Royal Rangers outposts that are contributing to healthy church life. Amen? And so to that end, I want to ask you as district teams to ask yourselves, where are our outposts in this transition to 2.0? I believe with all my heart that we have had a very healthy ministry for a long time, but now in this transition, obviously, you know, there's the discomfort of transition, and we need to finish out that transition in as many outposts as we can, as quickly as we can, so that they are reflecting the direction that we're going in the future. The best billboards we'll ever have are outposts that are ready and moving forward with the 2.0 vision. Amen? Now, we've talked a lot about Royal Rangers 2.0, so let's maybe define what is Royal Rangers 2.0. Maybe I can start by talking about the genesis, where it started. You'll recall a number of years ago we were branding our plan as taking Royal Rangers to the iPod generation. True? After we used that for a number of years, a couple of things happened. One of them is the iPod became passé. It was the Nano, it was the iPad, it was the iTouch, etc. Second thing is, our legal department was concerned that we might get sued. And so out of an abundance of caution, plus the fact that the iPod wasn't the end thing anymore, then we dropped that, of course, and then we began to think, well, how do we communicate that we're really trying, this is a whole new thing that we're doing. It's not to say that anything we've done in the past is wrong, but where we're going is new. And so how do we tell that to pastors? They don't want to hear we're the same old, same old. They want to hear there's something new, there's something different. How do we capture that whole thing in a really short and simple way? And we decided that Royal Rangers 2.0 did it. Most of our pastors under the age of 40 will get that immediately because they understand that. You know, can I tell a funny story? I'm about to introduce Ben, but don't come up yet. I got to tell this story on Ben. He comes back from across the street in one of the, I don't even remember where he was, but he comes back and he tells JR, he says, JR, there's this little cool thing. It's about this size right here, and it's foamy, and it has the Royal Rangers emblem on it, and it has the group logos on it. That is so cool. I wonder where I could get my hands on it. And JR goes back into the warehouse, and he pulls out one of these mouse pads and brings it out. Is this what you saw? Yeah, what is that? That's how you know you're the youngest guy on the team. You don't even know what a mouse pad is anymore. We love having Ben on our team, I'll tell you. And I'm going to introduce him here in a minute. But so 2.0 is something that Ben's generation and even those that are 10, 15 years older than Ben, because he's only about 12 himself, but all of our younger pastors will immediately know that a 2.0 is a whole new operating system. And so we're trying to engage them in a way of saying, this is a new thing. This is a new operating system. It's not 2.1 or 2.3 or 2.4. This is 2.0. It's a new thing. And how many of you know God is leading us in a new direction? Amen? So that's what 2.0 is. It's just simply a way of trying to connect with our younger pastors and say, there's something new here. Let us out of the box that you may have put us in and give us another shot. Look at us again for the first time. And so that's what Royal Rangers O is all about. So number one, again, we must do a good job of helping our churches transition to 2.0. Talk to them about what it is. Share the vision of 2.0 with them. Do it wholeheartedly. Endorse it. Reflect it. Model it. Do it. In your outpost, you set the pace. You do it first. You get out there. Do everything that's 2.0. If you know, sit down and have the conversation with your pastor and say, which uniform is going to be the best for our church? And be willing to just make the adjustments to 2.0, the flexibility, and we'll go into this in more detail in a moment. But number one, in our strategy moving forward, we must help our existing outpost to reflect the 2.0 vision in a very healthy way, because they are our best advertising source. Pastors talk to pastors. And if a pastor says Rangers is great, and if they begin to endorse it, that is the best thing that could happen to us. So number one, let's help our outpost transition to 2.0 and help them be healthy and strong, and just, you know, let's build that community of men in our district so they're healthy. Amen? Second thing we must do as we move forward is do a good job engaging with the pastors. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking on this particular point, but I cannot stress enough. We're going to be showing you resources that Ben has worked tirelessly on. They're great resources, but we cannot overemphasize what it comes down to at the end of the day is relationship. A slick brochure won't replace your relationship, your spirit. So as you move forward and you begin to engage pastors, we're trying to equip you with the resources, but the thing that only you can do is the relationship piece. So build the relationship. When you go to pastors' meetings and when you visit with pastors, brush your teeth comb your hair and iron your clothes and do the things that make you immediately, you know, agradable. You know, what's the word in English? Help me out. Presentable. Thank you. That's good. Do those things. And then begin to engage in relationship. And sometimes that doesn't mean, hey, pastor, I got this thing. Don't go for the hard sell. Go in. Just build relationship. How can we serve you? And think up, how can we serve these pastors that aren't mentoring boys today? And if you just serve them, I think they'll come around to Rangers. But right now, if the hard sell is the only thing we do, the walls will continue to be very high. So two things we must do moving forward. Number one, build healthy outposts that are transitioning. And number two, engaging the pastors. So to that end, let me introduce Ben. He's the newest member of our team. He has been with us since May of last year. He's a recent graduate of Evangel University, graduated with honors with a degree in business marketing. And he is just a tremendous asset. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, you got a little bit of background in Rangers, so tell us about it.
Hey, guys. I guess I heard about Rangers when I was a senior in high school. I was going to an AD church, and I went on an FCF camp out with Commander Dan Davidson, mostly just so I could ask his daughter if I could, or ask him if I could date his daughter. But... I was pretty good with a tomahawk and knife. I think that's why he said yes, but yeah. It worked.
Did you intimidate him?
Maybe that was it.
Yeah. Okay, so just tell us a little bit about going through Evangel, and you recently married. You married the girl that you asked permission to date.
Yeah. It's great. At Evangel, I felt called to, or I guess in high school, I felt called to do missions and marketing, and I had no clue how it was going to work, and then God just really kind of lined things up for me of going to Evangel, had an internship with Eurasia Missions, helped start the Eurasia Cafe, got a lot of marketing experience, and then I found about the position here, doing ministry and marketing, and it's like perfect dream job. It's awesome, man.
Well, it's great having you on the team, and you have created some great resources. I think everyone will really appreciate what you've invested yourself into. So walk us through. You have a couple slides to show us. Tell us what we're looking at here.
Alrighty, first thing we got here is the Ranger 2.0 launch kit. You guys should all have one. It's the 56-page. This is the big boy. The takes you through who Royal Rangers is, why a church needs it, and then how to start it. It takes you through step by step of how to pick leaders, how to recruit, promote to the church for the boys. First few meetings, it really goes through everything of for the pastors and the church leaders of how to start Rangers in their church.
It's excellent. So this then is really, I mean, a piece this size is really targeted at a specific audience. Who should they get this into the hands of?
Yeah, this is for church leaders and pastors that have expressed interest in Royal Rangers.
Okay, so this wouldn't be the piece, for instance, to just give to everybody and their cat and dog.
No.
Okay, so this is directed at pastors. So now, along with this, there is a website, correct?
Yes, there's a website. We're building it right now called mentoringfuturemen.com. There's a proof of how it should look, but it's basically going to be the online version of this magazine. So you could also just go through this with the pastor. You go through it from left to right, basically takes them through the who Rangers is, why they need it, and then how to start the outpost.
Okay. One thing we probably need to mention is we're giving you a copy of this right now, but we're not giving you a lot of them. We're giving you one right now so you can become acquainted with it and familiar with it. As soon as this website's done, then they will be able to get a hold of these, correct?
Yes. You'll be able to buy them from GPH for $2.
So just $2. And so, again, this probably isn't the thing you're going to be able to afford to give to everybody and their cat and dog, but ideal for pastors. And so your assignment going out of here is to really read this and become familiar with it because it is the step-by-step process of guiding a pastor through the decisions he needs to make, because 2.0 means you've got decisions that you have to make that really the one that can make them are the pastor. He's got to know really what his options are and what the implications of those decisions are. And so that's what's in this magazine.
Yep.
Okay, what else do we have?
Next thing we've got is the Royal Rangers 2.0 brochure. It's this little square one right here. And this is, it's much more brief, but this is a cheaper piece that you can pass out to a larger group. It just kind of goes through the basics of, again, what Royal Rangers is, and kind of what the vision of the Rangers 2.0 is.
So it's a condensed version of the magazine, basically, and but still intended for pastors.
Yes.
Okay. So it's pastors, children's pastors, youth pastors, anyone that's in pastoral leadership that might have influence on adopting Royal Rangers.
Yep.
Okay. And how do they get a hold of copies of this?
They'll be in GPH soon. They're not yet,
okay.
But we'll have them out there soon, and we don't have a price yet, but
okay.
We'll work on
so
it.
We don't have a price on it quite yet, but it will be much more affordable than the magazine, and this would be the kind of thing you would maybe go ahead and drop into the packet at your district conferences, district councils, anything like that, because it's a lower cost option than the magazine, and perhaps hold off on the magazine until you have a pastor who's really ready to walk through that thought process. But this would be much more affordable, and also tell them about Royal Rangers 2.0 quite well. And again, this the website on here directs them to mentoringfuturemen.com, and so we won't be getting these out broadly until we have that website prepared. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. All right, what else do we have, Ben?
Third piece is the Royal Rangers 2.0 trifold. This is targeted more towards a broader audience of just adults, parents, could be pastors also. And this you could just pass out in a church on a Sunday morning, really anywhere. And it kind of just talks about what Royal Rangers is, how it's effective.
Okay. So this is the real low-cost option and a much broader audience, parents, pastors, even the general community that wants a little bit of information on Roll Rangers.
And you'll be able to buy these from GPH, or there's a version online where you can just print them off in your own printer and fold them yourself.
So that would also be an option. Excellent. So let me just make a comment, because you are looking through that magazine, and one of the things you may notice is that in these materials that we're putting out there to pastors, it's not real heavy in terms of portraying images of boys in uniforms, leaders in uniforms. We're showing images of boys instead. And that's very intentional. We're not trying to convey the same that maybe is still the stereotype in their mind. We're trying to put the image and the focus on boys. And how many of you know we're about mentoring boys and young men? So I would just encourage you, when you begin to receive the Outpost promo kit in the weeks ahead, you'll notice a lot of the resources in there. We're downplaying the uniform, and we're trying to put the focal point on the person and not on the aspects of the programming. And that's very intentional. The programming will follow, but if they recognize that Roll Rangers is about mentoring future men, they will be sold on the purpose. No pastor has ever come to me and said, hey, where can I find a camping program? Where can I find a sports program? What they are asking for is a mentoring program for future men. As Tom Green said from this stage the other night at the banquet when he stepped up here, he says, you know, I have men come and say, you know what we need in the Assemblies of God is a way to mentor boys. And he's like, we got it. And so we want to be able to say, we have it. And you can choose all of the things that will make it work in your context best. That's the flexibility and the beauty of 2.0. It slides from, on one end, it can be a tight program with uniforms and badges, or on the other end, it can have a very just collegiate look with shirts like the ones that Ben and I are wearing. All the way into the middle, or you can be a mix. So a church could really run Rangers as a program platform and a bit of both. For instance, a church could say, we're going to run Ranger Kids and Discovery Rangers as a program. Very strict, the uniforms and everything. The middle schoolers, those Adventure Ranger guys, we're going to run that as a kind of a mix. They'll have polo shirts or whatever they choose. It'll be highly identified as a Roll Ranger thing. But the high school guys, it's going to be all platform, meaning they may not even really identify a whole lot with Roll Rangers, but they're still advancing through the same stuff, and the guys that really want to earn the awards will have the opportunity to do that as well, but the ones that don't are still receiving all of the life change of the Roll Rangers ministry. Amen? How many are excited about that? Amen. Exciting. So, Ben, what's next?
A couple videos.
Sweet. What are these videos?
These are the Track Club videos. We got
What is Track Club? I never heard of it.
Well, you'll have to find out.
We'll find out right now. Very good. Good answer.
Sam is your typical Ranger leader, teaching, having fun, and mentoring boys into young men with a heart to serve God. But over time, Sam started seeing a culture shift in the new generation of boys. They were exposed to more at a younger age. He needed help connecting with them, keeping them engaged, and working through issues boys face. That's when he heard about Track Club, the economical, anywhere, anytime, always up-to-date online resource for mentoring future men. Have you heard about it? Now, we told you about Sam, his struggle with trying to come up with relevant ideas and lessons. That's when he discovered Track Club. He was thrilled to find loads of great materials for a variety of activities, interests, Bible and leadership development resources, object lessons, and so much more. Plus, since Track Club is online-based, the material is always updated. Now Sam's more effective, and the Outpost is growing because the boys are, well, much happier and growing deeper with God. Track Club, the economical, anywhere, anytime, always up-to-date online resource for mentoring future men. Make it part of your Ranger resources today. Our Ranger leader, Sam, is busy as the next guy. Work, family, church, then work, family, church. Busy, busy, busy. Finding time to be an effective Ranger leader is often way out of his weekly schedule. That's where Track Club has revolutionized his life. Now, no matter where Sam is, he can access tons of materials. Download them to his laptop, print them, and be ready for his weekly time with the boys. Tools like this have become the wave of the future for today's Ranger leader. Get what you're looking for on Track Club, the economical, anywhere, anytime, always up-to-date online resource for mentoring future men.
You want to know my favorite part of those three videos? We're not going to show it to you again, but at the very end where the phone's ringing, did you notice that? I love it. Johnny Barnes calls you. We put the Pope in there, but we decided we better pull that one out. Okay, Ben, so these three videos, where can they get them?
They're on the CDs you guys should have right now, and they'll also be on the Outpost promo kits coming out next month. And I will have them online also eventually.
Soon. Okay. So these three videos are really shown in what context? Yeah. I emailed him about 1 in the morning, and he told me this morning, he says, after he got here, he says, I didn't understand. I had to Google that word you used.
It was a big one. It was not a normal word.
It wasn't a normal word.
It up,
I think it. Yeah, I think I made it up. Actually, I think spell check caught it and made it bigger than it was. So, but yeah. So yeah. Context. Where would be the ideal place to show these videos?
Yeah, these are targeted more towards Ranger leaders. So anywhere, pretty much any Ranger event, any camp. Anywhere you can play a video.
So targeted at Ranger leaders, but what about pastors? Would this be appropriate for them?
Yeah, I think pastors like to see kind of what we're doing now, kind of how, I don't know how to put it, kind of the direction we're moving in, and some of the resources we have, and kind of the mentoring purpose we have, and how we're trying to give that to everyone.
Okay. Excellent. So Track Club is your anywhere, anytime online resources. We've taken the curriculum that Commander Marriott created and his team and moved all of that to the online. We're updating it frequently. All of the new Bible studies are up there. We're still finishing out some of the DR ones. Those will be finished up here shortly. How many of you have been enjoying the new leadership merits? Those are phenomenal, aren't they? So thank you so much to the team that's been working on that. Let me just say one comment about transitioning in terms of the merit system while we're on it. If your outposts aren't teaching the leadership merits, they're going to get snagged at the end of the year when we hit that deadline where we're moving over to the new GMA and bronze and silver medal applications. So make sure that you really emphasize to the churches that they need, to the outposts, that they need to be teaching those leadership merits so they don't get snagged in that transition. So Track Club. Okay, so that'll help you get the word out about, and let me tell you, this has really helped us connect with children's pastors and youth pastors because we are really the first that are offering such a huge amount of content on online. And so this is really, I mean, it gets their attention. All of our curriculum, our teaching materials are online, and then the remaining pieces that the boys need on a regular basis are in print. This will help you connect with younger leaders as well. What's next?
A couple more videos.
Sweet. I love videos.
You were created as a man, a symbol of strength, power, and leadership. God made you from his pattern and formed you to be extraordinary. So get ready to experience the journey. It's time for adventure. It's time to build character. It's time to take on the task. Adventure with a band of brothers. Character becoming dangerous for good. Task, developing leadership skills that make you come alive. Royal Rangers, experience the journey.
That's right. Good work, Ben.
Thank you.
Okay, so two videos. Tell us the title of each and the target audience.
The first video is called
Experience the Journey.
Experience the Journey. I always get those.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I get inspire and experience all mixed up.
All right, Experience the Journey. That's obviously targeted towards boys and just kind of shows them the fun and high adventure they can have in Rangers and think they'll like it.
So it captures the whole ACT acronym. Again, that was the focal point of our morning devotions. Adventure, character, task. That's how God builds boys and young men into godly men. He takes them through those three things. So that video portrays those qualities of the Royal Rangers ministry and is intended for boys. So that would be ideal to be shown at powwows or any time that you're trying to fire up the boys that might become interested in Royal Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And yep, these videos are on your CDs also. They're also going to be on the Outpost promo kit, and I will have them on AGTV, YouTube, everywhere.
Okay, sweet. All right, so the first one is Experience the Journey. It's for boys and young men. Mm-hmm. What's the other one?
Second one's Inspire the Journey. That's for Ranger leaders, parents, potential leaders, and I think this will kind of motivate some people to maybe give Rangers a second chance or think about becoming leaders and getting their kids involved. And
sweet. So it hits the fundamental question, do I have what it takes to be a godly man? And that's the deep question every boy has, and it has to be answered ultimately by men because masculinity is bestowed. Only masculinity can bestow masculinity. Amen? And so we hope those videos will help you a lot. Do you like the videos?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, so what we're going to do in about the next 8 minutes or so is walk you through a PowerPoint that really captures this small brochure right here. So if you want to follow along, I'll walk through it. I know you could read this on your own, so my intent for walking through it is maybe just to hit a couple things that will help you when you're talking with pastors or when you are maybe even looking at your own district ministries and trying to see if you're in step as a district with Royal Rangers 2.0. So again, we are about mentoring future men. Rangers 2.0, a new thing. God is taking us new places. Why mentor boys? That's the easiest thing to answer. Pastors know that there is a huge need to mentor future men. And so the best time to train up a man is while he's still a boy. And so that's why we do it now. It's better to straighten out a boy than it is to straighten out a man. And so that's why we do it now. But the path to manhood, from boyhood to manhood, is no longer clear. Boys and young men are losing their way. And that's a quote from James Dobson. And so we as a church are the training ground for manhood. The church is critical in providing the solution. Why is the church the training ground for manhood? The reason the church is the training ground for manhood is because we're delivering Jesus. And Jesus is the definition of what it is to be a true man, because only Jesus, God's Son, lived his life exactly the way God intended for men to live their life, which was in relationship with God, free of sin. And so as a result of that, he lived a sinless life. He is the model of what it is to be a true godly man. Jesus is the definition of manhood. As Edwin Lewis Cole said, Christlikeness and manhood are synonymous. So you want to know what it is to be a man? Don't look to John Wayne. That's right. He's dead. But Jesus is alive, and we can have a relationship with him. Amen? And so let's inspire the journey to become like God. Now, right here, what you will do when you're presenting this is you will embed the video that you want to use. That's what this screen is about. So typically, you would use the Inspire the Journey video, which is the one directed at pastors. But you can alternate it. You can pull this screen out and put a different one in if it's a different audience. So right here, you can customize. Move to the next slide. Roll Rangers provides Christ-like character formation and servant leadership development for boys and young men in a highly relational and fun environment. What did I just give you? I gave you our elevator speech. How many of you have had to use it this week? When I stepped out of the hotel here, when I arrived, Tom, the district director from Nebraska, pulled up in his car and he says, "What's Roll Rangers?" So I spit it out. He was pretty impressed. So, hey, you need to memorize this. I mean, this is critical. If you can't tell this story right here, you're missing the story. When those of us that had the privilege of eating lunch with Tim Elmore after his presentation Thursday, one of the questions came up was really telling the story of Roll Rangers. And this is our story. This is what we provide. This is why Roll Rangers is relevant and important. We are the ones that provide Christ-like character formation and servant leadership development for boys and young men in a highly relational and fun environment. I urge you to memorize that. That is our story. You can use your own words, your own stories, but that is it. That is what we are. That's our elevator speech. That is it in a nutshell. That's what we provide. So here's our mission. We exist to evangelize the world. Amen? Men mentor boys based on friendship by connecting through fun activities that build confidence. Now, this is where I would spend a little time explaining to pastors why it doesn't matter that you don't have to be camping. You don't have to just be sports. You can do anything. Whatever the men in the church are interested in doing, typically the boys will be interested in doing. So get men that are interested in activities. The activities really are our doorway to evangelism, because when we can bring men and boys together, side by side, doing things together, side by side, then the relationship gets built. Women build relationship face to face. They sit down over tea. They talk. But it's a craft. I mean, I've watched it. You know, one lady shares a little bit, and then the other one feels confident to share a little bit back. And then there's just kind of this friendship that begins to develop, because confidence in one another develops. And that's how they build relationships. But us guys, you know, Ben and I are up here struggling to have this face-to-face conversation. It's like, dude, let's just get the work done. let's just go sit down on the computer and do it, you know. You know, I mean, that's this guys. We're like, let's just go do this thing, you know. Let's go play basketball. Let's go golf. Let's do something, you know. Let's climb Mount Kilimanjaro together, you know. Let's do something. And that's how we build relationships. So when we talk about the activity base in Roll Rangers, it doesn't have to be one thing. It has to be the things that will build relationship. And that opens the door for evangelism. Tim Elmore said it perfectly. Boys don't want to become become part of the Christian family until they have a sense of belonging. So that's what we're doing by creating these side-by-side relationships. We're letting them have a sense of belonging, and then they will become men of God. Secondly, We exist to equip. This is the discipleship piece. Men teach and model what it takes to be a godly man. And this is where I would just emphasize to the pastors that we have these incredible Bible studies, and print one out off of Track Club. Show it to them. Explain that, you know what, we all of the lessons as they're built right now revolve around five themes. We've got, help me out because I won't be able to remember all off the top of my head, but we've got integrity and sexuality. Every boy needs to understand what God says about that. Biblical worldview, that Jesus is the only way to God. And when they're at school hearing about Buddha and Muhammad and all roads lead to the same destination, they need to know that's not true, that Jesus is superior. Amen? So biblical worldview. Cultural issues, what's going on in our day, you know, human trafficking and other issues that they're seeing and they're hearing about. They need a biblical perspective to be able to interpret those things. What it is to be a godly man, they need to have a definition from Bible characters and from things that are going on in the Word. And then help me out, the third one is doctrine, correct? It's just, hey, this is solid doctrine. And the Bible is the book that we build our life on. If you want to build your life, you use the Bible. And so doctrine, very important. So we talk about this, and this will help you connect with pastors. Empower. Boys develop leadership by serving others. So I would print out a copy of the Leadership Merit. I'd show them that. I'd talk to them about the fact that we have a boy-led, adult-facilitated ministry. And we provide them not only good resources on how to lead, we give them the opportunity to do it as well. So, Roll Rangers. Mobilizes, inspires, and resources the men in your church to mentor today's boy, tomorrow's man. And it is an effective, flexible, and interconnected ministry. On effective, we talk about the fact that Royal Rangers has been around for 50 years. It's a tried and true process. It's a proven ministry. And this is a great quote. Many pastors read Greg Ogden's materials. Discipling is not a six-week program. Amen? Making disciples will only occur when we change our thinking from a quick fix to a long-term life investment. In the long run, the results are deeper and numerically greater. And so just talk about it. Rangers is effective. Insert your story here of life's changed. Show that it's effective. Secondly, you can talk about the Track Club resources here. You could even show a video. You could, again, remind them that you've already shown them a few of those resources. Then talk about how it's flexible. And this is key. There are many ways, many new and flexible ways to use Rangers. Discover yours. And I think that's the message we need to communicate to pastors. They're going to have to discover what's the best strategy for mentoring future men. So they get to choose. They get to choose their relational mentoring activity. These activities we've talked about, they draw men and boys into the side-by-side relationship. That can be arts, sports, trades, technology, outdoor activities, and ministry. So explain that the activities are flexible. They get to choose what they're going to be involved in. It's not just a camping program. And that just phrase, I don't say that to, you know, scratch the chalkboard for those that are like, Rangers ought to always be camping. But it resonates with pastors when they realize, because in their minds, that's what it is. And as soon as you say, it's no longer a camping program, it's not a scouting program, it's not a military program, that will connect with them. They get to choose. They also get to choose their Ranger apparel, and that will help them project the image they want. So we have, Ben's got samples here to hold up. We've got, of course, we've got the dress uniform. We've got the vests. We've got the utility uniform. And we've got the specialty uniforms, T-shirts, and the rest. So we've got options, and you can explain that. What's going to reflect best on your community and your church? And, of course, we've got these fancy shirts. Aren't these cool? I'm not sweating up here like I was the other morning because this is a lot cooler. Leadership title and styles that define the nature of the relationship you desire between the mentors and boys and young men. So Ben's got the patches that go on the uniform. Of course, we've got... very good, even sound effects. You couldn't hear it, but yeah. group leader or commander, because that way the pastor understands. If commander is something that just doesn't feel is going to fit the culture of the church, then he can go with group leader. And so he's got options. Budget. By determining the level of Ranger resources you use, you can determine your budget. Now, Royal Rangers is affordable so that every family can participate. How many of you have noticed there's a lot of ways that you can cut the cost in Royal Rangers, and that's been by design. So I am so pleased that the General Counsel didn't say, we're going to defend income. They said, we're going to defend ministry. And so they allowed us to create these options. That's right. Would you express your appreciation? That's right. So you choose the staffing solution, and there are many staffing options, and this is where I would show the Together Plan. If a church is small, it would be an ideal thing. How many of you are familiar with the Together Plan? Okay, very good. The Together Plan basically allows Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries in a smaller church setting to share leadership while the boys and the girls retain their identity as part of Royal Rangers or Girls Ministries. And that way, when the church grows and they split them apart, they're not suffering an identity crisis in that. They just split apart, and they've got enough leaders to run them separate. And so the Together Plan is a way of staffing. You've got, you need to explain to the pastor that for Ranger kids, you can have a husband and wife together. And they aren't going to know that unless you tell them. So you need to walk them through the staffing options. Together Plan, couples for Ranger kids. Talk to them about men and maybe even using some of the teen boys to participate in helping and lead, particularly at the start of an outpost. So give them the staffing options. And finally, not only is Royal Rangers effective, flexible, it's also interconnected. Royal Rangers is a complement to your family ministries, your children, youth, girls, men, and missions. And so you would want to describe how Royal Rangers can complement here. These are ways churches have interconnected with other ministries. Sometimes Rangers is used as a midweek service, the way it traditionally has been on a Wednesday night. Some churches are now using it Sunday morning or during the evening, Sunday evening service as a Christian education program. Mike right here from our executive committee does that very same thing. Some are using it as an after-school program. Some are using it as a community outreach, small groups for teen guys, and there's more. Tell them. There are ways that we haven't even discovered how to use Royal Rangers to mentor future men. And that is just freeing. When a pastor hears a ranger leader say, there's a lot of ways we can do this, you think it up, and I'm sure we can do it. That's freeing because that's not the message they have received in the past. The message of the past is, this is the way to do it. Walk ye in it. And the pastor wanted to hear from God, and he had to hear from the national office. And we're just saying, hey, we want the vision to emanate from the pastor. More information, you can contact us there. How does that sound? Good? So I would take time to practice that. I would take time to discover how I can best communicate with pastors. So I hope you can use these resources, and I hope that as you build relationships with pastors, you will be able to slip these out and begin to walk them through that process. But again, start with relationships. Amen? Would you express appreciation to Ben for his enormous work? Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Think we're done. Our work here is finished. Jim?
Well, I was, just give those guys another hand. That was an impressive, impressive. I mean, as a children's pastor in all these years and working with children's pastors across the country, this solves a lot of situations that you're going to find churches getting on board. It's very, very exciting. And youth pastors are going to get excited about this as well. So I am so excited. I didn't see this presentation until today, just like you did, and I'm very excited. Some of you, you might have gotten clues to it along the way, but it's fresh for me, and I think it is going to be phenomenal. Well, it's my privilege to give away the two gifts that we provided for you. You have to be present to win, and in here is a list of every person who turned in a pledge or an offering this week for our gift to ourselves, our Camporama gift. And the first drawing here is going to be for this bronze. I selected this one because it says, no man stands as tall as when he stoops to help a boy. And I think that's a phenomenal, phenomenal statement. And I want to thank you all because you are all doing that. You know that. You've done it for many, many years. And I just want to thank you personally. But the person who's going to go home with this bronze statue is from Morrisville, Wisconsin. It's Robert Smith. Come on up here, Robert.
Yes, it is. All right.
Give him one more hand, would you? Bless you. And going home with this Fred Deaver framed print is from Enid, Oklahoma, Stanley Botts. Stanley, come on down here and get this. Stanley, congratulations. Bless you. And Fred, thank you for your ministry to make all this possible. We are all indebted to you, my friend. Amen. You might want to remember at Christmas time when your wife's asking you what you want for Christmas, give him Fred's address. Okay? That'll help him at Christmas as well. Amen? Amen. A couple of, it would have been last fall, about September, I had a pastor call me up, and he said, "You got to tell me what you told my boy." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "My boy said," it was September of last year, he said, "Oh, Dad, I got to raise $500. I promised God." And his dad said, "What did you tell my boy?" And I said, "I didn't say anything about $500. But I was at their camp, and I had challenged the boys to earn $50 by the end of the year for missions. Now, somewhere in his mind, God told him $500. I don't know if that was accidental. I don't know if it was God, what it was. But what I can tell you is this little boy, not little, he was like 10, and he went to his father and said, I promised God, I got to get busy. And by the end of that year, September, October, November, December, he turned in an offering of over $500 for BGMC. Now, I want you to think about what happened in the mind of that boy. He caught the passion of missions, and he spoke to God about it. And the two of them had an agreement. God reminded him of it, and he put it into action. Not only does that work for BGMC, it works for everything you teach your boys. When you remind them to talk to God about something, and they do talk to God about something, and then he reminds them of that something. Perhaps when that magazine falls in his lap because it was laying there left by someone else and it's full of dirty pictures and he sees that magazine, but as he glances at it, he remembers a commitment that he made at a gathering that you were a part of where he said to God, "God, I'm not going to look at that stuff." God reminds him of that commitment and he takes action when he tosses that in the garbage. And that's what it's like to mentor a boy. And I just want to thank you for doing that because that, it makes all the difference in the world. I'm supposed to be talking about BGMC, which is why I told you that story. Missions is like that. When you challenge a boy, remember yesterday I talked about $75 in 75 days? That's just one idea. At that kids' camp, I said $50 by the end of the year. You're going to have boys in front of you at powwows, at FCF Traces. You're going to be able to tell leaders at commanders' conferences to go home and challenge their boys. When you make the challenge, God steps in and solidifies the commitment. And then he reminds the boy, and the boy takes action. And that's how funds are raised, true funds, when boys do an amazing thing, sacrificing, earning, working. And along the way, a work ethic comes along, which is really cool. When a boy realizes that with some hard work, he can do something significant for God. So I do want to challenge you. When you go home, make sure that you remind your kids to sacrifice, to earn money, to find a way to work, to sweat, so that someone else around the world will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The last couple years, Toolbox has done some amazing things around the world. You've put in some water wells around the world. You've definitely planted new curriculum in new countries because your money translated curriculum into new areas. You put a roof on a church in Africa. There's so many different places where your funds have gone. And I just want to say thank you. I want to challenge you to inspire your boys to greatness on behalf of missions. And with that, I'm going to ask the guys to come back because they want to see what you can... How each district can have some kind of a challenge, a passionate challenge for missions toolbox. Guys, come up, explain what you want to have happen at this point. But I do want to say thank you for your support of my office and for your friendship over the years and for investing in my life. God bless.
Can you give Dave Boyd a hand? We do appreciate your support, David, so much. It is awesome. It is great support. We did talk about this yesterday, and we also hit upon it again, the district director meeting. What we're going to do is, Harry, again, will call the roll. We'll start alphabetically by district, and we're looking for two numbers. The first number, Harry, does it matter which one we go first?
BGMC.
Okay. The first number we need is the BGMC Toolbox Commission or that you're going to have for the year, okay? And then the second number will be the number of outposts you will have in your district by the year 2020. C2020 division. That's what we talked about yesterday. So again, two numbers. The first one is the BGMC dollars. The second one is the number of outposts.
Ready, Dave?
Okay, and we'll start alphabetically by district. Harry, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, we got the mic on?
I think we're live.
All right.
Alabama. 575. Alaska. 520.
Make sure you give us a good, strong yell. Harry's all the way up front, too. Thank you.
Right. Appalachia.
Next.
Next. Arizona. 1,039. Arkansas. 1,100. Central.
Next.
Georgia. 6,500 and 120. Gulf Latin American.
Nope.
Hawaii. Illinois. 1,060. Indiana. 1,060. Iowa. 460. Kansas.
Nope.
Kentucky.
Nope.
Louisiana. Michigan. 1,588. Midwest Latin American. Minnesota. 675. Mississippi. 1,020. Montana. Nebraska. New Jersey, 1,575. New Mexico, 1,030. New York. 2,125. North Carolina. 580. North Dakota. 1,015. North Texas. 4,115. 150. Okay, thank you. Northern Cal, Nevada. 1,120. Northern Missouri. $2,025. Northern New England. 1,530. Northern Pacific Latin. 250. Northwest. 1,200. Was that 1,200? And 122. 142? Ohio.
5,150.
What? 5,150. Oklahoma. 5,150. Oregon. 1,350. Penn, Florida. 25,200. Penn Dell. 2,120. Potomac.
170.
I didn't catch the first number. Oh, question? Okay. Puerto Rico. 120. Rocky Mountain. 2,550. South Carolina. 1,240. South Central Hispanic. South Dakota.
250 and 20.
South Texas. 2,000. What was the last number?
10,100.
Okay, 100. 10,100. What was it?
10,000.
Okay, gotcha. Southeast Spanish.
500.
Well, how many outposts?
65.
Southern Cal. 5,300. Southern Idaho. I already have that one. Southern Missouri. 1,150. Southern New England.
1,055.
Southern Pacific. 1,075. Southwest. Spanish Eastern. 1,500 and 100. Tennessee. 2,050. Texas Gulf Hispanic. 1,050. Texas Louisiana Hispanic. West Florida. 1,070. West Texas. West Texas Plains. Wisconsin, Northern Michigan. 5,080. Wyoming. And that is it.
Okay, thank you all for that. Jose, did we get that in there? Okay, very good. Thank you, guys. Well, I think we're up to getting close to the end. I know I don't know if everyone's really bragging on Doug, but Doug, come on up. You know, I appreciate working in the national office. Man, I've been blessed to work with some great bosses and supervisors. I don't even consider Doug that, but it's just a privilege to work with you, man, and just your heart and passion for what you do. It's contagious. And it gets me fired up. I'm serious. I'm fired up now. I could go another day if you needed me to. So
you'll be alone.
Appreciate that. I know. So, but anyway, we appreciate what you do for us, and you are truly a man for a time such as this. And I appreciate you as a friend, more importantly than anything else. And it's just an honor to work with you, man.
Thank you, Jim. Feelings mutual. Yeah. Thanks.
God is good. Amen. Here's where we're going in the future. This is just so simple. You can write it down and you got it. We're moving into Royal Rangers 2.0. And that means we're going to have healthy outposts because we're all going to work on shaping healthy leaders because healthy leaders can lead healthy outposts. Amen? We're going to engage pastors relationally, number two, so that we can challenge them to let Royal Rangers out of the box that they have put us in. Amen? And we're going to believe God to grow Royal Rangers spiritually and numerically. Amen. Next thing we're going to do is we're going to have, in the short term, we're going to do something that is going to give us leverage for the long term. And that is that we're going to have the best attended Camporama we've ever had. And we're going to do that in spite of the economy and in spite of anything else. We're going to have the best attended. Amen? Can you commit to that? That's right. Let's hear it. Third thing we're going to be doing is we're going to look outside of us and we're going to connect with other ministries. And we're going to give more to missions than we ever have. We're going to look beyond ourselves. That's the nature of ministry. The moment Royal Rangers begins to look at itself and only itself is the minute we will begin to shrivel. But the minute that we continue to do these roll calls and those numbers climb and climb and climb, then God is going to honor us because God honors those that give. Amen? And so I want to be a giver, and I know you do too. So that's what we're doing. Three things as we move forward. Rangers is going to grow spiritually and numerically, number one. Number two, we're going to have the best attended Camporama, and that's going to give us incredible leverage as we move forward into the future. And number three, we're going to look beyond ourselves, and we're going to connect with other ministries, and we're going to give more to missions than we ever have. It's that simple. Amen?
Amen.
So let's do it. Let's just do it, because God has raised up Royal Rangers to accomplish this task of mentoring future men. Pastor Harry Hunt this morning, it's our pastor, he told us that we have a task. Royal Rangers has a task. And it helps shape our individual task. But as a whole, we are about mentoring future men. Amen? That is our vision. You get it? Awesome. It's that simple. We don't have to stir things up, lather ourselves up. Those are simple marching orders moving forward. Amen? So let's, again, build healthy outposts, grow the number of churches by engaging pastors relationally. Number two, let's have the greatest Camporama we've ever had. And number three, let's look beyond ourselves. Let's connect with ministries, and let's give to missions like we never have. That simple. Amen? So let's do it. Are you committed to that vision? Praise God. Let's do it. I want to take you, if I can, to Joshua chapter 3, if you have your Bible or your iPhone. And Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4. I have always looked forward to this final session before we do the grand giveaway. I don't think anyone really stays for me. I think they stay for the grand giveaway. but it works. Thank you for staying. Amen. But I enjoy this because I feel like it's our time just as family. We'll let our hair down, and we'll just have a family talk. Can we do that this morning? Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4 simply says this. Joshua is speaking, and he's instructing the people, and he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, in fact, why don't you stand? You need to stretch anyway. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites, they're carrying the Ark, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. So when you see the presence of God, move. Follow it. It's exactly what he said. They understood what the Ark was. It was the presence of God. When the presence of God moves, get up and follow it. And then it goes on, it says, then you will know which way to go. Because up to this point, you know, they've just been wandering in the desert. But now you're going to know exactly where to go. And this is the key phrase. Since you have never been this way before. We have never been where God is prepared to lead us. And so when God's presence moves, we move. Amen? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us in these next few moments to capture your heart. You are taking us where we have not been before, and so we want to follow you where you are leading. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. So Moses has now died. He's passed on his leadership mantle to Joshua, and Joshua is on the banks of the Jordan River, and the Lord tells him, you have never been this way before. This is a deja vu moment for Joshua because 40 years earlier, they were at the same crossroads. And 10 of the spies that had checked out the land saw nothing but trouble. And 2 of them saw nothing but opportunity. Land flowing with milk and honey. And the others are like, no, crawling with trouble, giants that will kill us. We're grasshoppers in their sights. In their eyes. And so, 2 different perspectives, but the lesson they learned from failing to cross the Jordan River 40 years earlier, and it cemented itself in the mind of Joshua, was the all-important leadership principle of following. Amen? Leadership is as much about following as it is about leading. And I believe with all my heart that God has led this ministry for 50 years, and we've had skilled and capable leaders. We've had leaders of integrity, and we're grateful for that. But as we move forward, God is calling us to go to new places, to do new things. We have never been this way before. And God will take us where we have never been if we will follow. Amen? God will take us where we have never been if we will follow. Now, what we're going to do for the next few moments is, of course, we could study Joshua's life, and we would need a whole lot more time than we have allotted. But we're going to capture just a couple things from his life that help us understand how to follow the Lord well. So first off, we will follow well when we remain, number one, consecrated. We will follow well when we remain, number one, consecrated. God is looking for a consecrated Royal Rangers ministry. Look at verse 5 in chapter 3, the very next verse. Joshua gives these instructions. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And I am claiming that for Royal Rangers, that he is prepared to do amazing things, provided that we step back before he calls us to move and consecrate ourselves. God wants us to consecrate ourselves. God will take consecrated people where they have never been before. And God is calling us, I believe, as a ministry to the heart of what we were created for. From our founding, we were a mentoring program for future men. Now, Johnny said it in a little different way. I mean, his phrase, I think, was, develop the total boy for Jesus Christ. I loved it. I was in Idaho, and I sat down with, and I am so sorry, I forgot his name, but he was a former district director. If anybody's from Idaho, maybe you can, I know you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm looking for Stephen. Maybe he's still here, but no, it wasn't David St. George, but anyway, he has Parkinson's and just had a lot of great conversations with him, and he said, I've heard so many good things about the changes, and of course, I was afraid I was going to get the opposite, you know, I can't believe you're doing this, but he was like, I've heard so many good things about the changes, so tell me about it. And so we would sit and we'd talk and, you know, we'd get interrupted and we'd pick up the conversation later. And basically it was a long conversation that lasted for about 4 days with lots of breaks between. And at the end of it, he says, Brother Doug, it all is so good. But at least you haven't changed reach, teach, and keep boys for Jesus Christ. And I was like, oh boy. I said, actually, we changed that too. He says, well, what is it? I says, it's evangelize, equip, and empower. And he thought for a moment and he says, oh, Brother Doug, that's just semantics. And I said, you're absolutely right. Because the mission has not changed from the beginning of Royal Rangers. We've been about mentoring future men. But if we are to mentor future men, whether we say reach, teach, keep, or evangelize, equip, and empower, it doesn't matter unless, as men, we are authentically consecrated to God. And so this morning, if we are to move into what God has for us, we will have to ask ourselves continually, am I really reflecting what it is to be a godly man? We do not produce the kind of fruit we want to produce. We will always produce the kind of fruit we are. And so if you are an apple tree, you can never expect to produce oranges. It won't work that way. So if we want young men to become godly, if we want them to become servant leaders, then we must absolutely be that kind of man ourselves. Through the years we've talked, the last few years, we've talked about Ranger culture and the fact that we had never taken time to define in writing what our culture was going to be. And so we set out to write our culture and we wrote that we were going to be men committed to personal excellence, to leadership excellence, and thirdly, to ministerial excellence. And that's in the previous council magazines and the article entitled Ranger Culture or Our Culture. And we laid out what kind of ministry values do we want to embody and pass on from our life to the lives of young men. And so we laid them out. But if the principles of God's Word are going to make that transition from God's book into boys' lives, it will only happen by way of the medium of my example and your example. And so I know I'm talking about the basics here, but it is vitally important that we understand that we will produce the kind of men we are. And I'm not going to unpack our culture and all that session again. You can review that and you would be wise to do so. But I just want to say, let's really be the kind of men. Let's be the kind of ministry that we have talked about and advocated. Let's be real men of God, on adventure with Him, men of character, men on mission, on task. Our life is pointed exactly where God wants it to go. Amen? So to that end, let me just say we must value what is most important, and what's most important is godly character. You know, I'm going to use a few illustrations this morning, and I'm not trying to be rude, but I don't want anyone to miss my points. So I've intentionally chosen a few that may sting a bit. I don't do it to hurt no one at all. But this whole notion that we cut ourselves slack and we say things, and I'm quoting almost verbatim, he's got a terrible temper, but he can sure put on a good Ranger Derby. And we tolerate the terrible character just so we can put on a good Ranger Derby. And my simple question is, what is going to stick in that young man's life? The Ranger Derby or the character of the man that put it on? All I'm saying is, where is it in us to do what the Bible says that we should, our good works should spur each other on? My good character should call out the best in you. We should be iron sharpening iron. That's the nature of a healthy community. So I am simply tonight, or this morning, as your national director, national pastor, just simply saying, let's constantly be asking ourselves over and over, am I the kind of godly man and servant leader that I want boys and young men to become? God will take consecrated leaders where they have never been before. So I want to be a consecrated leader. And I'm just challenging you as organizational leaders to constantly keep that at the forefront. Let's be the real deal. Let's be the real deal. Would you tell the person next to you, I intend to be the real deal. And as your national director, I want you to know, I intend to be the real deal. That's my commitment. Amen? Secondly, when we look at the example of Joshua, we follow well when we remain healthy. We follow well when we remain healthy. This takes us to Joshua chapter 7. We read in Joshua 7 that Achan has sinned. And you'll recall that he had taken the spoils of war. God had specifically said, no one is to take the spoils of war. There were times when he said, yes, plunder it. Other times he said, don't touch a thing. And this was one of those occasions when God said, no one should touch anything. Leave it all behind. Kill them all. And as Fred would say, let God sort them out. He said, kill them all and leave the gold and leave the animals. Leave it all. Don't touch a thing. Leave it. Of course, Achan took some and he hid it under his tent. And the sins of one man caused the favor of God to be lifted off an entire nation. And as a result, an inferior army routed Israel. And many men lost their lives that day because one man had sinned and the favor of God was not upon the nation. And so as a result, Joshua had to strap up his boots, buckle up his pants, and be a man and confront a very uncomfortable situation. Now, when he did that, the beautiful thing is that God's favor was restored. Now, I'm not suggesting that there's sin in the camp. I think we already covered that in our first point. Let's be consecrated, amen? But what I am saying is that there is a broad principle for church leaders. And how many of you know we are all church leaders? When you signed on to be a Royal Ranger commander, you signed on to be a church leader. Then you have to also understand that you signed on to be committed to church health. God is expecting us to contribute to church health. And so as a result, we don't have the luxury of overlooking issues that must be dealt with. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not advocating for harshness or rudeness, unkindness. I'm not advocating that we be rude. I'm not advocating we be impatient. I'm not advocating that we humiliate anyone. I'm not advocating any such thing. But what I am saying is, in a loving heart, in a loving way, we must set aside the personal discomfort we feel when there are issues, such as the guy who has a terrible temper but does a great Ranger Derby, and go to him and say, listen, you do a great Ranger Derby, but until you can check your temper and bring that under control, because after all, that is a fruit of the Spirit. When you can bring that under the Lordship of Christ, then we will be able to use you here. I love you, and I want to see you grow into the best man that you can be, but I'm going to need you to sidestep until you can get this under control. That's your job. If you were diagnosed with cancer, and your doctor, just to avoid the personal discomfort of letting you in on the bad news, kept it a secret, that would be medical malpractice. How much more so when those of us in ministry, to avoid the discomfort of taking someone aside by themselves and saying, let's get this temper thing under control so that your character is the kind of character that we want young men to emulate. Let's be men and be willing to step up and do what Joshua did and do the things that need to be done so that we can have health. You see, when we allow dysfunction inside of Royal Rangers, it becomes normal. When we allow it in the church, it becomes normal. And the problem with dysfunction is that it cannot produce health. By its very definition, it is a lack of health. And so we must deal with dysfunction. And when we tolerate it, then we are not contributing to health. And the only thing that can grow is something that is healthy. In fact, what is healthy will naturally grow. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to contribute to health? And if something we're doing is detrimental to health, let's change that, because by definition, that will be a dysfunction. So all I'm saying is, let's be committed to health. In the last couple years, we talked about alignment. We said that as district and national, we need to be in alignment with one another. We need to be in step with one another. We have distinct yet unique roles. And if we get out of sync, then we're not in alignment. And so we talked about alignment, and I would urge you to review that if you need to. But it's critical that we remain in alignment in order to remain healthy. I think if we're to work in alignment, it means that, number one, that we will value the same outcome. District and national must value the same outcome, and that is a healthy outpost contributing to a healthy church. Amen? So we value the same thing. So you know, you get the bead on the front of the rifle, and you get the little Y in the back, you get that lined up, and suddenly you can hit the mark. Amen? We can target together, and we can contribute to church health. Amen? Secondly, when we're working in alignment, means that we protect each other's reputation as though it were our own. Sometimes there will be a policy you don't agree with. But you know what? Rather than throwing your district director under the bus, you protect his reputation as though it were your own. That's right. Instead of throwing your district superintendent under the bus, instead of throwing a pastor instead of throwing the national director under the bus, we protect one another's reputation, because sometimes we hear stories from the district, and I'll tell you, it would be easy for me to say, what in the world? I'm going to pick up the phone. But in the conversation, I say, you know what? I don't have the whole story, and I'm going to get the whole story before I comment on that. And I'm going to protect the district director's reputation as though it were my own. That's part of being in alignment. We're on the same team together. Third thing, if we're working in alignment, it means we defer to one another on certain issues. There are issues that the national, in order to remain in alignment, must defer to the district. This isn't perhaps the best example, but if Camp-O-Rama is so awesome every fourth year, then Camp-O-Rama every year should be even better. No, because districts got things to do. They got proximity to churches that we don't have. We defer because that contributes to health. Yes, it's good and important to have the big thing. And we should support the big thing because it helps all of us. But we defer. Another example of deferring, flipping the table, would be toward the national and just saying, you know what? It's the national and the executive committee, working with the executive leadership of the Assemblies of God, that determines the uniform. Thus, we give our churches the options so that they have the flexible choice between a dress, a utility, or specialty, or any of the options. But within that, it's the national that defines what goes on that uniform. It's not to the district to say we're going to have an extra district item. Districts don't add hats that aren't part of the uniform. Districts don't add cords that aren't part of the uniform. We don't have districts that are allowed to blouse uniforms and others that aren't, etc. Why? Because nationally we're trying to communicate the same story and the same message, so we defer to one another. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Starting to get hot up here. But I'm talking about real issues, guys. I mean, if God's word isn't going to deal with real issues, then we're wasting our time. So let's work in alignment, because it will contribute to church health. Alignment recognizes the need for good leadership. Alignment, I said, recognizes the need for good leadership. You see, I don't say this to boast, but I believe the Lord has given me some leadership abilities. I'm a good leader. You have been given good leadership abilities. You are a good leader. But we need good leadership above us. I have to learn to follow as well as I learn to lead. That's just part of being in alignment, because otherwise we're not going to be working in the same direction. I need good leadership. And what happens when good leaders don't have good leadership above them is that their focus gets diffracted. And instead of having all of the leaders in an organization tightly focused on mentoring future men, tight like a laser that can cut through steel, we become this floodlight. And everybody can see the problem because we got a lot of light, but nobody can cut through steel. So we have to work in alignment. We can't fracture our ministries and diffract our focus. And I want to say publicly, as clearly as I possibly can, that I am committed to following the leaders above me. I am grateful for Mark Insminger, who you met this weekend. You met him last year. I am grateful for his leadership. Some of you met Julie Horner, who's part of the research and development team at headquarters. I'm grateful for her leadership. I'm grateful for the new COO of the General Council of the Assemblies of God. His name is Saul Arledge, and perhaps some year you'll be given the opportunity to meet him. I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful for his wife, Winnie, who's the Vice President of Church Ministries. We're under her and leadership and his leadership. I am grateful for Brother Garrison. He's a friend of Royal Rangers. Amen. Our Assistant General Superintendent is a man of God. And together, all of us, along with Scott Berkey over children and the youth department, all of us are working in alignment together. We're getting our act together nationally so that we can follow Dr. Wood's vision for the Assemblies of God. Dr. Wood has a vision for church health. And I love his vision. You'll be hearing in the days ahead more about the AG Healthy Church, which are resources targeted for the health of our Assemblies of God churches. You'll be hearing more about Healthy Church, which is the best of the best resources for the broad Pentecostal world. And you'll find resources in there that come from Gospel Publishing House and from
Pathway Press and from Lifeway and from other sources, bringing together all of the best resources of the whole Pentecostal world so that we can create healthy churches in and outside the Assemblies of God. That's a kingdom focus that I can follow. And I thank God for Dr. Wood's vision and leadership. Dr. Wood has a vision for the broad evangelical world, and he's created a brand called the Influence Brand, which is resources intended for the broad evangelical world, but with a distinctly Pentecostal message. He wants the Assemblies of God to gain a voice in the broad evangelical world, a voice that we have lost. Amen? Dr. Wood has core values. First, to passionately proclaim the gospel. How many of you are on board with passionately proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ at home and around the world? Amen? I want to be evangelistic. His vision is to strategically invest in the next generation. That's children and youth, boys and girls. How many of you are on board with that? Amen? Hallelujah. Third, he wants to vigorously plant and revitalize churches. How many of you are on board with that? I mean, that's just a greater market share. More churches means we have more opportunity for outposts. Amen? Healthy churches, revitalizing them, I'm on board with that. Finally, he wants to skillfully resource our fellowship. How many of you are grateful for Track Club? That's Dr. Wood's approval. One of the delays we experienced, Dr. Wood himself emailed me and he said, let's pull back on Track Club for a few months and let's get a few things straight and right in our plan before we move forward. And that was tough on me. I'm going to be honest with you, because I was ready to go. But I took his email, and I'll be honest, I grumbled to myself for a few moments. And the Lord just told me again and again, the success of Rural Rangers moving forward has nothing to do with your ability to lead. It'll have everything to do with your ability to follow. And that is a message that I think the Lord has for all of us. I want to be part of Dr. Wood's vision. And I'm not asking you to get in alignment with Doug Marsh because I'm on a power kick. I'm asking you to get in line with where we're going as a movement so that we can contribute to church health. So I want to be a good follower. Do you want to be a good follower? Saul Arledge, our COO, Chief Operational Operating Officer, said the Lord gave him an image of the Assemblies of God ministries. He says it's like this big ship that represents the Assemblies of God in the broad Pentecostal world. And then attached to that ship are all these tugboats. But instead of pulling that boat to a safe harbor or perhaps out into the oceans where it can adventure and go to the deep sea and the deep blue. Instead of that, all the tugboats are pulling in different directions and just about to tear the boat apart. And so our commitment at the national headquarters is to get all of our boats, all of our tugboats, pulling in the same direction. And that's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking as plainly and perhaps as bluntly as I know how. To simply say, you know what? There's been times in the past where we've taken great pride that our district just is out of line with national. Let's take pride in being in alignment. Let's take pride in good followership. And let's use the mechanisms that we've put in place when national is missing it. No one's saying ignore the issue. Send it up. Email makes it easy. Drop us an email if there's something we're out of line on, that we're not getting straight with the objective of mentoring future men. We're missing something. We want to hear it. But let's take pride. Can we? Can we take pride in saying, we're in alignment. We're doing what is our role as districts. We have this role. National has this role. We're going to let National do the national work. We're going to do our work, and we're going to do it together in alignment, because God will take leaders and ministries that prioritize health to places that we have never been. How many of you want to do that? Praise the Lord. Third and finally, we follow well when we remain dangerous. We follow well when we remain dangerous. I need to take you to the very last chapter of the book of Joshua, and I love this chapter. As we open it, Joshua begins to celebrate the past. He begins to talk about Abraham, and he moves through the chronological history and talks about Jacob. And then he talks about Joseph, and he begins to talk about Moses, and then he talks about God's faithfulness all the way up to that very present time. And in his account, he tells us the secret to remaining dangerous. And by definition, I think dangerous means that we remain influential and effective. And that's our vision as a ministry, is it not? We have said over and over through the years, our vision as we move forward is to influence more boys and young men than ever, and to do it more effectively than we ever have. Amen? So influence more effectively. That is the definition of a dangerous ministry. Not a ministry that peaks out at 50 and shuts down the doors or gives up, you know, the drive and the energy. We got more energy moving forward than we've ever had. Amen? How many of you want to remain dangerous? Praise the Lord. So he tells us in verse 14, last chapter, chapter 24, and verse 14, the secret to remaining dangerous. Fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Serve the Lord and, or fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Here's the thing I think we have to understand, because it is so easy when you read that last chapter to think that Joshua is trying to give a history lesson. He's not trying to give a history lesson at all. What he's trying to do is he's using a story to make his point over and over again, because his story had really nothing to do with the past. It had everything to do with the future. He wasn't trying to account for the past. He was trying to give them a future focus. Basically, what his message was this. Do you guys remember when you were faithful and God came through for you? You remember that? Yeah, we remember that. Let me remind you of this other time. Remember when God was faithful there, and we were faithful, and again God came through. You remember that? Now, do you remember when we weren't faithful and we got stuck in circles out there for a while? Remember that? Let's not do that again. But hey, do you remember when God was faithful over here and we knocked down the walls of Jericho? You remember that? So he tells the story, and basically he's using different stories and making the same point over and over and over again. When you're faithful, God will be faithful. When you're not faithful, you're on your own. So I think he then looks at the people and says, get the point? As you move into the future, fear God. Fear God and serve him faithfully. His thing was a future focus, not a past focus. God hated it whenever the people had a past tense focus to their leadership. See if you remember reading any of these. God, did you bring us out here to kill us? Did you bring us out here so that we would starve to death? You know what? I think it would have been better to stay in Egypt. Anytime they took a past tense focus in their leadership, God was displeased. Whenever they had a future focus, God was always very, very pleased. Men, here's my point. It is easy. It is so easy to default into familiar patterns, is it not? Default to familiar patterns and policies and practices. But if we are to move forward, we have to ask God
What do we need to shed? Thank you, Harry. It's easy to default into the familiar and what we're used to. But Roar Rangers 2.0 is a new thing. And we're moving into a new day. We're taking the things we've learned from the past. They've shaped us, yes. But as we move into the future, we must be full of faith, anticipation, hope, focus, prayer, adventure. After all, when you move into things you've never done before, you can expect the unexpected. You can expect to learn new things. You can expect to, just ask anybody that's been on a missions trip, you can expect to eat some food you're not used to. You can expect to ride in some taxis that you wouldn't otherwise ride in. You been there? God is taking us into new places, and I'm simply saying, let's be good followers. Let's follow the Lord. Let's move in after the things that He has in store for us. We're grateful for our past, but men, God has done everything He's going to do in 1962. Everything that God's going to do is today and tomorrow, and next week and next month. And as leaders, let's reside in the future and let's move into the future. And yes, we're going to learn from the past. We're not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. But as we move forward, let's just have the quick and nimble spirit that we've said we're going to have, that we will be adept to change and we will move into the future full of faith and believing that God has the best in store for us, even if we have to work harder than we've ever worked in the past. I love Marvin Lemke. I wish he was here. But Marvin Lemke is one of those leaders who, at his age, as a veteran Ranger leader, could say, you know what? I'm going to fall back into the things I'm used to doing and the familiar patterns, and I'm just going to finish out with what I'm used to, and I'm going to let some young guy come along in a couple years, and he'll get us into the future. But Marvin's attitude is, you know what? I'm going to set the table for the future. And I love that. That's future leadership. That's a future focus. And I'm just simply saying, if we are to remain dangerous, we will learn from the past. We will gather strength and courage from the past. But as we move into the future, we must have a future tense focus. I'd hate to belabor the point, but I have to say this. As you move in leadership with a future tense focus, you must choose who you will lose. You see, with a future tense focus, you might, and that's the key word, you might offend and lose some of yesterday's leaders and maybe some of today's. But if you move into the future with a past tense focus, you will definitely lose the boys and the leaders of tomorrow. That's right. And so I'm just saying, if we're going to be dangerous as a ministry, we have to have a future tense in our leadership. We have to reside in the future. We're going to have to deal with those issues. We're going to have that future focus, that faith and that anticipation to move into new things, because we're going places where we have never been before. So as a young man, Joshua and Caleb, these two young men, 40 years earlier, stood at the same place they were at the Jordan River, ready to move into what God had for them. And their unwillingness to follow into the unfamiliar caused them to wander aimlessly for 40 years. All they had done was exchange the slavery of Egypt for the slavery of aimlessness, because the people weren't willing to follow into the unknown. And I'm just simply saying, with anticipation, with excitement, with certainty in my spirit, in my heart, that our best days are ahead. And we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
We have God going before us. His presence is saying, let's move. And so my question to you all is, will you follow? Because I'm going to follow. So Joshua is at the bank of the Jordan River, and he has to move this entire nation across the river into the unknown. And to do that, he has to make the question very personal, very individual. And he simply asks, who among you will remain consecrated? And he even says himself, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? So he answers it, as for me and my house, we're going to be consecrated. How about you? Are you going to be consecrated? Then he asks very individually, who will remain healthy? He says, I will. I will remain a healthy leader. He was a leader of integrity. Who will remain dangerous? I will. So organizational change, the change we've been going through, will never be successful unless individuals choose to adopt it and to follow it. And so I'm asking you as the organizational leaders, will you follow me well while I follow Dr. Wood well, so that together we can have a clear focus on being the best mentoring ministry that the world has ever seen. Let's not give us an inch for someone else to come up and take our place because we weren't willing to follow God well. Let's follow him well. So as we move forward, we must do so for the sake of ourselves. Following does me good. Following does me good. Following will do Royal Rangers good. Following will make eternity good also. And heaven is well populated by young men. So as we move forward, I'm simply asking, as humbly as I can, will you have the courage to let God take us where we have never been before?
I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there, providing for them, he's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. A father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect, and should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made, You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and His blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you and to say, I will. I will. I will.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away.
Courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous.
it's your commitment to move into the future that God has for us with courage, would you just raise your hands as a commitment to Him? And would you just raise your voice and say, Lord, we have come here and we have celebrated the past, and from that we are gaining great strength and courage. But Lord, we know that you have a future for us. And so to that end, we commit ourselves courageously. There's things we don't know. We're not ignoring the creepy, crawly things under the rock, the things that don't look right and don't feel right. We're going to look at those, but we're going to look at them differently. We're not going to see the giants. We're going to see the land flowing with milk and honey. We're not going to see the problems just through human eyes. We're going to look at them through your lens. And we're going to have faith and courage to believe that you're going to help us every step of the way. And so, Lord, as a body of Ranger leaders charged with the responsibility of leading this nation to mentor future men in the Assemblies of God and so many other denominations and a growing number of them, Lord, we humbly commit ourselves. Where your presence goes, we will follow, because we are anticipating with eagerness the places we have never been before, and we will follow you to that end. So, Lord, as national director and each of these district directors and regional coordinators, every last one of us, we're standing here. It's not an emotional time, Lord. It's just a firm commitment on our part to say we're all in, because we know that you put it all on the line for us, and we're going to follow you wherever you lead. The only thing we're going to ask, because we know we can ask it, is that you will fulfill all of your promises. You will do it all, and we will sue you to follow through on everything you have put on our heart. Because when we evangelize and disciple and shape future leaders, we're doing exactly what is in the center of your will to do. And so, Lord, make us influential and effective as we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray it, the name above all names. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.